Welcome to the Crimson Circle Show. We are broadcasting live from Coal Creek Canyon, Colorado, and we have an excited, amazing live audience here, and they are higher than kites because they have been eating chocolate, and they are ready to go. Go chocolate. Mm-hmm. So, for those of you that were listening in earlier to the opening, welcome. There are lots of new listeners that are coming in to hear an Adamus Saint-Germain channel by Jeffrey Hoppe. Welcome if you're coming in from Blog Talk Radio. This is the Crimson Circle. You can watch this on your computer if you like from crimsoncircle.com. You can also listen from the Awakening Zone. That's the radio station for Empowered Awakening. And there are many offerings there, another place for you to look if you're looking for more support on this amazing journey that we all are on. So, are you ready for this first channel in the new Discovery Series, channeled by Jeffrey Hoppe Adamus Saint-Germain? As you can see, I bet many of you are wishing you could be here with this amazing live audience and this stunning energy and the exciting message that you're about to hear. So, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So, as we go into this, Norma will guide us with some conscious breathing, and then there will be some music. And the next thing you will hear is Jeffrey Hoppe channeling Adamus Saint-Germain. So, here we go. Welcome, everyone.
I invite you now.
Microphone. I invite you, this new series called Discovery. I'm going to invite you, discover, where are you willing to go with breath? Feel this. This exquisite breath that wants to fill you, transform you, love you. Will you receive it? Breath at a time, breathing deeper and deeper into the core of you, falling deeper into this love affair with you and your soul. Breathe. One breath at a time. One breath at a time, deeper and deeper for you. Thank you.
I am that I am, Adamus, the Chambra-inspired facet of Saint Germain. Thank you. So let us begin our new series, the Discovery Series. Let's take a good deep breath. So often I ask you to take a good deep breath and let me come a little closer to you. Let me come as close to you as I am with Cauldron, Jeffrey, right now. Oh, and I'm inside him. Yes, I'm going to stay here a while. Forgot to tell him. I'm not leaving right away. So take a good deep breath and invite me, Adamus, so close that you can feel me tickling your insides. Yeah, all of them. That you can feel me in your heart. That you can feel me side by side with you. Take a good deep breath. You see, it takes a bold and courageous person to let anyone in that close. Let anyone, including your loved ones, your children, including anybody in that close. Because there's layers and layers of protective, defensive material and psychic energy all around. But when you can let somebody in that close, they're right inside you, hugging you from within. You've achieved a level of consciousness through trust, through allowing. That's going to serve you well. So, dear Chambra, take a good deep breath. When you can trust yourself that much that you can let me into your thoughts, into your mind, that's trusting yourself. Having that much confidence and balance in you. You can let me in. You can let others in. When you let others in, you'll find that they can never truly do you harm. Never, ever take anything away from you. They can create a lot of illusions. They can play the game pretending that they can take something from you, and you can play the game pretending that you're a victim, pretending that you're vulnerable. But take a good deep breath. If you can let me in that close, that deeply, that intimately, you've reached a level of consciousness, true consciousness about yourself. Oh, and speaking of yourself, why not take a good deep breath and let yourself in that close? Oh, a little bit tougher. A little bit tougher to let yourself in that close. We're going to be talking about that and many other things in our Discovery series, but discovering who you are. Yes. Sounds easy. It's not. It's not. It's one of the most feared things. We talked about fear, Jane, you and I, on many occasions. What do you fear the most? Yourself, of course. All of you. Every angelic being, what's the greatest level of resistance or fear, whatever you choose to call, but it's the toughest thing. We're going to be doing it in our Discovery series. We enter our fifth year together. We've completed four. Surprised that so many of you are still here. No, truly, indeed, I am surprised because, you see, there's a certain fascination with religion and philosophy. To try to put some meaning to life, and as you probably discovered, there is no real meaning. There is a level of fascination with things that are spiritual, the occult. Partly because you've studied it before in the past. Partly because the occult, spirituality, has an allure about it. It has a power, a seduction. Some say that they're studying it for to help give a better understanding of the way things work, but no, they're full of macchio. Because you'll never understand the way things work. It's designed not to. So there's many who study it as a distraction from their day-to-day life. They can go play angel games. Sorry, but they're just games. They can impress friends and relatives with their occultishness, their oddity. And they use sometimes spirituality and New Age as a veil for their otherwise odd nature, and they just call it New Age. Very true, very true. But as you know, from the early times with Tobias, from the time that I started coming to you in 1999, we're not here to be spiritual or New Age. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. We're here, you're here, for your embodied enlightenment. There's really nothing to study. Nothing at all. There's much to discover, and there's much to realize. You've been coming here month after month, after month, after month. You have actually been manifesting, creating this aspect called Adamus. Actually, I, as Saint Germain, have a little difficulty having to shift in that role. Somewhat, some would say a bit obnoxious, a bit pretentious, a bit provocative. But that's what you're creating, the push, the edge, the difference. Because, well, you've had a lot of studies in spiritual, a lot of past lives in the religious orders. You realized it was interesting, but it didn't bring the real fulfillment that you were choosing. So you came here in this lifetime to this group called Chambra, to this gathering, and said, I'm going to do it. Embodied enlightenment. I don't care what it takes. You kind of came here under the under a little bit of an illusion that you're going to be here to help save the world and all the rest of those things, but you're finding that it doesn't need saving. And even if it did, they're not necessarily going to accept it from you. They're going to resist it from anyone. So you come here for embodied enlightenment. And you're going to realize it. You are going to realize it. I have no doubt about it. I would not be here if I thought it was a maybe. It is going to be, as long as you're choosing it, as long as you're allowing it. And it's not going to be anything like you thought it was going to be at all. So I give you credit and applause for sticking it out. Tough times at times. Really tough. Really tough. Because it rips down all the illusions. It rips down the identities. It rips down the mistruths. And rips down what you thought was you so that you could discover the real you. Very, very few humans have ever gone that route. Very, very few. A lot of humans talk about religion and God and righteousness and all the rest, but very few stop to take this kind of inner look and inner journey. It's difficult, but you wouldn't have it any other way. So welcome to the Discovery Series. In our series, which will last for 11 segments. In our series, each month, we're going to have a discussion, interactive discussion, as I know you love so much. You just can't wait till Linda hands you the microphone. Am I right? We'll have interactive discussions because there is a lot of wisdom that you have to share. Yeah, that you have to share. And sometimes it's intimidating with that microphone thrust in front of you and me looking and tens of thousands watching. But when you hear your own voice, not just the words that are coming out, but the tone, the depth, the spirit in your voice, when you hear that, that's when you start to have that breakthrough of consciousness. That's when you start to realize, I am that I am. That's when you start to simplify the words. That's when you start, when you stop telling the long stories. That's where everyone else can feel the presence coming from your voice. So we'll have our discussions. They'll get lively. They'll get crazy. It might get you a little upset at times, but the discussion, the interaction is good. So you can hear you. Of course, I'll always have my lecture portion, fascinating lecture portion of each child. But then as we are in this discovery series, each month we will have an experience. Sometimes it will be a marab, sometimes a different type of experience. We're getting to the point where we don't need to just keep talking about things. It's time to experience them. So be prepared each month for an experience. Some of the experiences, you won't experience anything right away. Well, you will, but you won't be aware of it right away. Sometimes it takes hours, days, weeks for the realization of what really happened. In the experiences, we're not going to try to do anything. We're not going to effort into it. We're going to allow it and then let it unfold. No mental stress. No efforting. Just allowing. We're going to go through a series of very specific experiences every child. One working on or expanding upon the previous ones. And I've told Caldra that I will try to keep my segment short as well. A little bit shorter. But literally I watch and monitor the energies, feel what's happening, because as I've told you many times before, I'm nothing but a distraction. A humorous, charming distraction, but a distraction. So that while you're watching, you're listening, you're experiencing something else is really happening over here. You're sitting in a safe space, feeling into your I am presence, and allowing a shift or a movement to take place gently, quietly, and without thinking about it. Nothing will mess up a good energy movement, a good expansion of consciousness, more than thinking your way into it. So I'll distract. You allow. Is that a deal? Good. So we'll begin this interaction with question of the day. If you would be ready with the microphone.
Yes, sir.
Oh, don't call me sir.
Do you want the question written now?
No, to the audience, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
So let's take a moment to feel into this without thinking so much. But feeling into it, because part of today's experience is literally going to be about listening to what's already there. So the question I have for you, mental question, but feel into the answer. Are you better off than 14 years ago when we started, or 4 years ago when I started with you? Are you better off now? Take a good deep breath and feel into it. Are you better off? And dear Linda, on the microphone, please. And Linda, what's your answer? You got to get a picture of that. She's in a suspended state of consciousness. 14 years ago. It's been a journey for you, I'm sure.
I'm better off.
Better off.
Yeah.
Why? How?
I have more personal clarity.
Good.
More empowerment.
Good.
And I still haven't hurt anybody at the airlines.
Big bravo. Good. Good.
And I love what we do.
Yes. So are you better off?
Yes.
No, talking to Chandra.
Not me anymore. Are you
microphone
done with me?
Time.
You're done with me?
Yes.
Okay.
Edith. Hello.
Hello. Saint Germain?
Adamus.
Are you Adamus or Saint Germain?
Does it matter? Does it matter? And aren't we one in the same?
All right.
Yes. Which would you prefer today?
I can't answer that.
Yes, you can. Yes or no.
Kind of
Adamus.
Like, I don't know.
That's an illegal answer.
I didn't say I don't know. I said I can't answer that.
So, Edith, are you better off?
Yes, in the sense that Linda described, I have more clarity.
Yes.
And understanding of myself, I know that I am.
Yeah. You don't sound real positive about that.
Well, I have one problem.
What are you thinking?
It doesn't go away. I don't seem to get my abundance in, and I am quite a bit poorer than I used to be.
Really? Are you?
Yes.
Is that bad?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Audience?
Yes, you like it.
And why do I say that? Oh, this is going to be a fun series. Oh, because, Edith, you've heard these words before, and you can argue the weakness, or you can argue the victimness all day long, but if there is something in your life that you don't like, you do like it. Because it's there. It's there. It's serving you somehow. Now, it's frustrating. It's difficult. You think about it all the time. You expend tremendous amounts of energy thinking about it, wondering what you've done wrong. And it just keeps you right in that abundance pit.
That's right.
Lack of abundance pit. The fact is that the money doesn't really make a difference. You didn't come here to make money. You came here for enlightenment. Right.
Right.
So it doesn't really make a difference. The fact is that once you let it go, just let it go and stop struggling with it, stop waking up in the middle of the night with it, you're going to realize the money didn't matter, and then it'll be there. And then you wonder why it wasn't there earlier when you really needed it. But right now, it's serving you somehow, and that's for you to discover. Yeah, and you're frowning, and you know you have that doubtful look on your face. Until you own the fact that you're receiving something from it, it'll still be there.
I wish I'd hurry up and discover it.
Okay. Go ahead. And this is not psychoanalysis. We don't want to get into that. We don't want to go into early childhood traumas or anything like that, but why is it serving you? Do you want me to tell you?
Yes.
Okay, it's keeping you focused. You think it is. You think it's keeping you on your knees and focused so you don't distract yourself with all this, with all the worldly stuff. And you've said it over and over to yourself that you're never going to get caught up in all the worldly pleasures, and you're not. Now, you have to make the conscious move to say, I'm not going to get stuck in it. I can have worldly pleasures and enlightenment because they do go hand in hand. They do for all of you. They do.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. And I can't, I would love to bestow grand abundance on you. I cannot. And even if I could, I wouldn't. Because the greater gift is in you giving it to yourself.
I understand.
Yes.
Thank you.
When that abundance thing comes up, my dear, don't focus on it. Don't focus on it, because even the lack of abundance has gotten to be a bigger distraction than the abundance itself. Good.
True.
So are you better off or not?
Yes.
Is that a big yes or a little yes?
In between, yes.
Yeah, okay. Good. A few more. Better off or not?
Yes.
Good. In what way?
The obvious way that's been mentioned, I feel more at peace.
Yes.
And that is a real gift.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot more or a
lot
little
more?
A lot more
peace. A lot more peace.
Yes. And I think you know, we know, that one of the things that was the most challenging, if you don't mind me being a little personal, one of the things that was, because I was going to anyway, one of the things that
was... Minded, would that make a difference?
The most challenging for you, as it is for so many, but learning to be with yourself, mm-hmm. just to be with you. And you've had that opportunity, mm-hmm. and you've embodied it, you've integrated it, and now you teach it.
Yeah. And probably... one of the most indicative things is that when the doubts come up, they're nothing.
Yeah.
The doubts will always come up, but do I want them? Do I want them to serve me? Or that's just a doubt.
Absolutely. Good. Thank you. Now versus 14 years ago, or 4 years ago, either one.
I am doing much better.
Good. In what ways?
I love life.
Yes.
And I just recently learned to allow the life to love me back.
Wow. how did that happen? Wow. Did you walk in the store one day and see a little box that you could buy and have life love you back?
It just happened.
Yeah. It just happened.
Just happened.
Yeah.
It's an experience, discovery.
Yes. How did it happen? How did you experience it?
I opened to allow and receive.
Good.
That was my challenge.
Good. How does it feel to have life love you back?
Excellent. Wonderful.
Right. Okay. No resistance.
No resistance.
Good.
Yes.
Thank you. Anybody? Bonnie.
Oh, here we go.
Bonnie.
Hi.
And be frank and candid, or be Bonnie and candid.
Oh, dear.
Or you could be frank.
Well, of course I'm better off. Of course.
Yes. In what way?
Well, I understand what's going on now far more than I did long, long ago when we started this.
Yes. You went through challenges and difficulties, as so many have, and... One would think that you would say, no, this is really tough. Life gets harder and harder. But you're saying no? You're saying, in other words, yes.
It's not about the stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
And, of course, I've lost everything, just like so many people have.
Yeah. Wasn't that fun, though?
Yeah.
Because you're still here. You're alive. You're talking on the microphone. I exist. The stuff is... not that important.
It isn't. You feel much lighter with all that stuff.
Yes. Good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're still smiling.
Thank you for asking.
Yes. Hey, one more. Deep breath.
Yes. Although the journey has been very difficult at moments,
yeah.
I would say my awareness is a lot greater now than it was 14 years ago, and for that I'm thankful.
And why has the journey been difficult? What in particular?
Well, like Bonnie just said, losing everything, body stuff.
Yes.
I mean, the only thing I haven't lost is my dear husband.
Yes. But the funny thing is, you talk about losing everything. I didn't see any of you on street corners begging.
We were close.
Yeah. Okay. In your mind.
Yes.
In your mind, actually. And maybe in your perception or how much was in your bank account, but most of you still driving nice cars. Most of you still having the basics in life. So there's a lot of perception going on here. There's a lot of perception caused by fear, caused by wondering how deep, how far the bottom is, and then realizing it doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Yes. Difficult to go through.
Yes.
And what's more difficult than the physical, the financial, is the mental. The mental rip down, even more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good. Yes. But you think you are better off. You say you're better off.
I am. I feel more connected to me than I ever have before.
Good.
My intuition, my knowingness is stronger than it ever has been.
Yes.
And I'm starting to trust it.
Self-worth?
That's been coming up. I'm aware of it.
There is some self-worth,
yes,
then.
there still is, yes.
Good.
I can see it.
Good.
But that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
And would you pass the microphone to Mark? For our last comment.
Okay. I can pretty much agree with what she said.
Yeah. Smart move.
Right? you know my marriage, right? It's definitely not what I thought it would have been.
Definitely.
It's definitely not.
Definitely.
It's way different.
How would you teach that? Because you will be teaching. How would you teach that to others? How would you explain? Because imagine yourself now sitting in front of a classroom, a dozen or maybe 20 students sitting around. And you're trying to explain to them. They're all giddy and excited because they just discovered metaphysics and spirituality. And they're on this high, like they're the first ones to ever discovered it. And they're so excited and they're saying, I'll do anything. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do. And they're bubbly and they've got angel things hanging in their car window and they pull out their crystals to show you.
And
you're
just
sitting there like Captain Kirk, like, oh no. How are you going to tell them it's not what you think without shattering their hopes and illusion?
Be careful what you ask for.
Or you can say, you do get what you ask for, by the way.
You do, but you have no idea what you're asking for. So.
That's a good point.
And it just doesn't look anything like what you think it will be.
And so they say to you, Master Mark, so what is it? Give us the answers. You studied this, you studied under the great Adamus. One of the few who had ever had that unique opportunity. Boy, do we wish we had been there when he was around. Now you're going to say, what did Master Adamus say? What? Simplify it. What was his message?
I don't have a clue what he said.
That is a brilliant answer, by the way. It doesn't matter what he said.
Right.
Absolutely.
And the journey is individual, so there's no recipe for, what it's going to look like.
Yeah. But they say, give us a few clues. What did you do? I mean, look at you now. Look at the cars. Look at your wife. I mean, you're great. Look at everything you have. How did? And you have this aura about you, and you smell like chocolate chip cookies. And you're alive. And you're alive. Tell us, how did you do it?
I don't know.
And then you laugh and say, I'm just kidding.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, how I truly did it, it was a breath at a time. Truly.
A breath at a time. I like that answer. That should go down in the wisdom book, absolutely. Breath at a time. And one more thing. What else would you tell them? They're gathered in your, I'm getting this, Caldra says, your coffee shop, your enlightened cafe. They're gathered around after hours. You're charging $20, $30 for a cup of coffee because you can.
At least,
because
yeah.
you can. Yeah. So, and you say to them, after one breath at a time, and they say, I'm so tired of breathing. I can't stand it anymore. I breathe and breathe and breathe, and nothing happened. Look at me. I'm
not
so
attractive.
Tell me. I see it all the time, as does Andra. I mean, I'm tired, sick and tired of breathing. What else?
Allow.
Oh. How do you do that?
You just do it. Allow. You just let go.
Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath. Right, there we are.
And buy another cup of my magic coffee.
That's right.
Yeah, it is blessed. Saddam's blessed the coffee beans before he left. It worked. We'd make
good,
millions.
Good marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. So, dear Shambra, are you better off? It's a stupid question. It doesn't really matter. And there's no way you can really compare it. You can try. And I do like the answers. We're getting so much better, Shambra. It doesn't really matter. And compared on what level? Well, on a human level, many of you would say probably not. You may own less. You may have, you don't have a job anymore. A relationship, regular sex, good food, or anything else may not. But I know you did not come here aspiring for those things. As a matter of fact, the real answer is, Edith, almost rejecting those things, almost pushing them away. And look what happened. They went away. I know you came here for this embodied enlightenment, ascension, whatever you want to call it. And in a way, sorry. Sandra, would you get her some coffee? A foot massage and two electrical wires. You came here for embodied enlightenment in what I would call, depending how you looked at it, either an act of desperation, saying, if this doesn't work, well, if this doesn't work, yes, I'm out of here. If it's not this lifetime, there is nothing. There is nothing. So it's all or nothing. You put all of the chips on the table. Everything. Double or nothing. Saying this is it. And the crazy, but that's the way you are. Now, the real truth is you already know. You already know. But now you're going for the experience of it. You do know the answers. Now it's the experience. You came into this lifetime saying, this has to be it. And like I said, it can be considered a bit desperate or very bold and courageous. Very amazing. Breaking out of so many things. The mind, the past, mass consciousness. And still enduring. Still sitting here. Still existing. Amazing. Let's take a good deep breath with that. In our discovery series. From my perspective and the others of the Crimson Council, it's not so much a matter, are you better off? It's a matter of what's happened with your consciousness, which we can see as your light, which we can see as the expanded nature of your being, as we can see by literally the journeys that you take in your dream state. Are you different than you were 14 years ago? Immensely. Immensely. I would like to do a dream walk, if you would write this in for yourself in your brain. We'll do a dream walk, and we'll do it together. We may do it live or recording. I have to check with Linda and Jeffrey, but a dream walk into 14 years ago. We'll try to go back, and you're going to see what it's like to try to go back. Mm. And I think you'll see through this dream walk that it's not what you thought it was, and it would be like trying to stuff yourself back in your mother's womb. It's just difficult to do. It's just difficult to go back. And while the mind remembers certain lovely things about the past, as well as certain terrible things, the fact is, if you try to bring your consciousness back there, you really can't do it. So we'll give it a try with a dream walk. What are we going to talk about in Discovery Series? What are you going to discover in the Discovery Series? And again, I said we're going to have some lectures, discussions, and then experiences. Would you like that cup of coffee now or later? No, come on, lay down on the carpet's clean. This is family. We don't care. Calder's chiding me about being such an inspirational speaker. What are you going to learn in the Discovery Series? What's the first thing you're going to discover? This is easy. Yourself. Yeah, yourself. First thing. Now, it seemed obvious, and you're like, yeah, this is, didn't we learn this years ago? Well, you heard it years ago, but you didn't learn it. You haven't embodied it, embraced it, or experienced it. Number one, discovering you. You. Now, the fact is that whether it's human beings or angelic beings, every being distracts themselves from their self. They do. I don't know why. There's a lot of theories about it. People externalize. Even angelic beings, they externalize. It's part of the, I guess you say, the discovery of the I am, the pursuit of the question, who am I? But very few will ever set eyes upon themselves. Why? It's hard to do. You have a lot of bad memories of the past. There's things you don't like about yourself. And I'm not just talking about the human self. I am talking about the soul self, the spirit self. It's very difficult, do anything to distract. Go out and have battles and wars rather than take a look within yourself. But in this Discovery Series, we'll do that. We'll do exactly that. We're going to do it from the perspective of something I mentioned in the last series, something that I think might have floated over most of your heads. We're going to do it from the perspective of total forgiveness. The difficult thing for me, some of the other entities who work with you, is trying to get you to realize that your past is not what you remember it to be at all. But you believe it is. You think it is, and you act accordingly. So we're going to work on this whole concept of looking at the self with the eyes of forgiveness, self-compassion, and coming to the discovery that it is not what you think it was. And I know you're sitting there now thinking, well, yeah, but I remember it was like, it wasn't like that. And in this series, we're going to discover you, the most precious, beautiful thing that there is. But it's going to be my biggest challenge with each and every one of you, because you're going to be energetically distracting, psychically distracting yourself, me, Caldra, everybody else. Why is it so difficult to look at yourself, to be within yourself? What's that way for all of the beings, not just human beings? Number two in our Discovery Series, we're going to discover God. That's kind of nice. God, G-O-D. We're specifically in this year, if you allow, which I believe you will, you're going to experience God. Pretty big promise. But are you experiencing God, Edith? Or are you thinking about God? Do you hear the words, I'm God also? Or do you feel it as an intimate, deep, loving experience? good question. It sounds nice to say, I'm God also. It's very mental. But how many of you have actually experienced it? There's a lot of concepts of God. I don't necessarily like the word God, but I use it here because it's a common term. There's a lot of concepts of God out there. And actually, frankly, the ones who teach God know the least about God. Absolutely. The ones who are the fanatics, the extremists, the righteous, they know the very least about God. They're teaching from a book. They're teaching from their mind, their rules, their limitation, their sense of need for their internal suffering and their rules. Why other humans allow them to teach about God, I do not know, other than perhaps most humans have this distorted view. The concept of God in this world is perhaps one of the top three things that are the most imbalanced about consciousness right now. The concept that God is somewhere else, the concept of God is a father, the concept of God having any rules or giving a damn what you do. The concept of God is man-made. The ones who are at the pulpits, the ones who are calling for the rise of arms, have not experienced God. You cannot study God. You cannot construct a God. You can only experience it. And when you do, it is a deep and intimate experience, an experience that you probably not even want to talk about. It is so beautiful, so personal, it would almost be a distortion to talk about it with others. That's why in the old times there was no word or name of God, because it was known by a few. It is something so personal that you can't talk about it. In our discovery series, you're going to be, by going through you, the inner look at you, you'll have the experience of the God and the I Am within. It's a pretty tall order. But I wouldn't be saying these words unless you, my dear friends, were ready for it. We're ready. Ready in the body, ready in the mind. Sometimes when going to the core, going to God, sometimes when it is pursued on in an imbalanced and overly desperate ways, sometimes through drugs, sometimes through intense rituals, it can be completely imbalanced. It can do more harm than good. Some of you who have taken the drugs realize that if the rest of you is not prepared or balanced to have this experience, it can rip you apart. It can throw you off mentally. It can destroy the body. Each and every one of you are ready to experience it in a very natural and a very personal way. In our discovery series, we're also going to discover that there are no beliefs. Yeah, you can write down no beliefs. There are no beliefs. You believe that there are beliefs, but there's not. It's perhaps a statement that is going to be argued about and discussed a lot, but it's my contention that there really are no beliefs. There is heavy programming. And there's certain parts of the programming that you take as your own and say that's your beliefs, but there's really no such thing as beliefs. They're really not. People hang their hat on beliefs. I believe this, I believe that. I contend it's all just massive programming. Programming that you've allowed, programming that's occurred for as long as humans have been around and even before then. Programming that has gotten more intense and deeper than ever before. If you feel into a typical human walking down the street, just feel into their energy. There are a myriad of chaotic energy patterns and lines caused by a lot of programming. programming that actually is not consistent, doesn't follow any nice path, it's all over. Person can have the belief that they love themselves and hate themselves at the same time, that the world is good, the world is bad, that water is cold or warm, all these things. And these, what they call beliefs, what I call programmings, are inconsistent, will eventually lead one to a total breakdown. If they believe their beliefs, mental breakdown, if they believe their beliefs. So we're going to learn and discover that there are no beliefs, that it was all programming, and we'll learn how to release that programming, Linda, how to release it rather than to fight it, how to understand that it's not yours rather than to take on the guilt and the suffering, thinking that you created it and you're a bad person and all the rest of that. We're going to go beyond beliefs. Can you imagine for a moment being without belief? I don't believe it. Imagine for a moment having the freedom of no belief. Some people would say, but then, what do I do? Who am I? That's been part of my identity, is to have my beliefs. And they're actually hurting you more than they're helping you. You actually create new beliefs based on whole programming to try to resolve things or smooth things over in your life. But what you're really doing is hiding them, sweeping them under the carpet. So we're going to go after beliefs this year. We're going to release beliefs down to the naked you without beliefs. This year we're also going to discover something that Tobias talked about many years ago, but actually never has really been experienced deeply, that there is no power. There is no power and no need for it. This world, and much of the other worlds, operates on the belief of power. People seek it. People try to acquire it. People try to steal it from others. Power is also, no power. Are powerless. There's no need for power. But you look at your news, watch other people. It is power games going on. Power is also a part of this whole energy dilemma that not only this world but other parts of this universe are facing right now because of the belief in power. Power would make one feel strong and worthy, and they would feel like they had an identity. They had a purpose. So they would try to acquire power. Best way to do that is from somebody else. Leading somebody else to believe that they're better than you. That's psychic power. Literally taking energy from them. Getting down to the level of stealing things from them. Most people derive power through sex. Through sex. They think that it's pleasurable, but it's really a power game, really. That's why the whole experience with sex for most humans is not what it could be. That's why there's an incredible industry right now based on pills for making men with an erection that lasts 4 months or whatever that happens to be. 4 days, I don't know. I don't have that problem. I'm not in physical body. The humans and other beings, not just humans, there's a lot of aliens as well, that are in the constant power game, stealing it from others. You see it on Earth all the time. Politicians and business people and military. Every time you see a military flare-up, it's just somebody that needs a little power. That's very true. So there's this whole power game going on everywhere. The fact is, you don't need any. The fact is, actually, you really don't need any energy to exist. You're going to exist without energy. But the fact is that energy is there to serve you in great quantities. And power is a distortion or manipulation of energy. We're going to learn how to go powerless, how to literally not power into yourself, which so many of you are still doing, and not using power or getting into power with other people. Yes, it is part of the sexual energy school, an extension of that. So this year, no power and no need for it. No need for it. Could you imagine having no need for any kind of power? Financial power. Financial power. Not having a need for it. Or of financial lack. Of health power. Of biological power. Of any kind of power over other people. So many of you in past experiences, past lives, got into playing with psychic energies with others, witches, and all the rest of that. You learned how to use your energies, your talents, your psychic abilities with others. And a lot of you are still suffering for it, because when you lay a spell on somebody, it's really laying it on you. That's the problem with witchcraft. That's why I'm not a big fan of it, because it's all you're doing is laying it on you as well. You got into this whole power thing, initially to protect yourself or defend your families or whatever. You got into it, and it's a cycle that's hard to break out of. Power cycle is very hard to break out of. You're going to discover how to do it easily. The next item on the list in discovery, we'll call it awareness, but it's really how to listen to yourself. You know everything there is to know. You just don't know it yet. You know what's right, but you walk around saying, I don't know. You pretend that you don't know what's right for you. I'm not talking about right in terms of a judgment, but what's appropriate for you. So you walk around undecided. And then the energy stops moving, and then you get frustrated, and then somebody uses power on you, and suddenly you're in this energy trap. We're going to go into listening to yourself. Now, it's hard to do, and I list this last, or close to last, because you gotta come here first to be able to listen to you. You already know what's right. But you got caught up here and in doubting and thinking that you don't know. That's why it just is terrible when you say, I don't know, because you do know. We'll be going through some experiences of discovering that, and some of them are going to feel very awkward for you in this year. To do what you know is right. You already know. You let other people influence you. You neutralize yourself. We're going to get out of that gear. You already know what's right. Enlightenment isn't something you can study. It's enlightenment really is not even anything you can learn from anybody else. Enlightenment isn't a course. Enlightenment is allowing. Enlightenment is, you could say, trusting. Enlightenment is experiencing. So in our discovery, we're going to do exactly that. Take a good deep breath into discovery. I'm going to summarize all this by saying, this year we'll get into the experience of it. Get into the experience. Experience, well, you know what an experience is. Experience is an experience. You go out on a boat on very rough waters, a storm all around you, and you wonder if that boat's going to sink. That's part of the experience. It's that adrenaline, I guess, of, you know, what's going to happen to the boat? What's going to happen to me? It's just an experience. You continue existing. That I know. Let's take a deep breath and have an experience. Yes. So the first experience we're going to talk about is state of consciousness. State of consciousness. Consciousness is awareness. It's not thinking. Basically, there's very little connection, overlap between thought and consciousness. You cannot think your way into consciousness. You can't. You try. Try thinking. You think, I am that I am. Yeah. But you can experience it and you can have the consciousness of it. Consciousness is the wisdom. Consciousness is the deep wisdom. Consciousness is that aha that you get. Right now, you've allowed yourself a lot of experiences that have you ready for new states of consciousness. But this issue with the mind, you're thinking about it, you're wondering and you're worrying about it. So it's held off. It's just waiting. Consciousness is almost something that when you have the experience of consciousness, you almost can't explain it. Like I said, with regards to God, you almost don't want to. You don't want to pollute it with words or thoughts or have others attack you for it. A state of consciousness should be flexible. Yet, for most, it is very rigid. It is very linear. In other words, they have to have one event preceding another to achieve levels of consciousness. You cannot, and these are bold words, but you cannot expand your consciousness. Let's call it open your consciousness through thinking. You cannot. Just cannot. You can increase your thinking a little bit, but you cannot increase your consciousness. Most people think about enlightenment or think about consciousness. And then it kind of goes, it's fun at first, but then it goes in a circle and it gets stuck. And then it gets your body stuck, your mind stuck, and it can get very depressing. Most people think in terms of very linear consciousness. In other words, doing one thing at a time, one level of consciousness. Where in reality, consciousness is multi-level, multi-dimensional. You can have many states of consciousness at the same time. Multiple states. Now, the mind doesn't like that at all. The mind says, I can't figure it out. That's good. You can't figure out God, enlightenment, yourself, life, or anything else. You don't want to. It's about the experience of it. When you allow yourself to experience, to expand, consciousness naturally takes that wisdom, distills it, and brings it into the soul self, stripped of all the facts and the figures and the details and what you think were the traumas and everything else. Distills that, breathes in that wisdom, finds what you say is joy in the opening of consciousness. Consciousness is not something that you acquire. You don't go out and get more consciousness. You expand or you become aware of the consciousness you already have. When the consciousness is combined with the experience, you put the two elements together, the experience of living, for instance, no matter how difficult or wonderful it is, doesn't really matter. You combine that experience with raw consciousness. You bring them together. Now you have something almost indescribable. Consciousness itself is like an empty chalice, an empty vessel. It's there. It exists. And now it wants to fill itself. with the experience, with the reality, with the sensory experience of itself. Consciousness then knows consciousness or connects with consciousness in a much deeper and more profound way. You, Mark, could tell your students that will come to you. It's all about consciousness. It's all about consciousness loving to experience itself for the glory, for the wisdom, for the I am-ness. Consciousness actually doesn't care at all if it was a good experience, you're better off now than you were 14 years ago. It just cares about the experience. Just cares, just loves the experience, that's all. It has no judgment. It has no beliefs. So let's take a deep breath. If we could dim the lights, please, and John will want some nice consciousness music. I'm not going to call this a mihrab. It just is. It's going into a state of consciousness. Now, the interesting thing here is we dim the lights and put on a little light music. You can't think about it, but you can feel it and experience it. So I invite you to do just that. You can't force it. You can't. It's not a goal. It's not about doing it right or wrong. You can't do it wrong. State of consciousness is where your awareness is at the time. Part of your awareness is right here in this room, or wherever you happen to be listening from. Part of your consciousness is in your body. You're always conscious of that physical body. Part of your consciousness is tiptoeing into tomorrow, the next day, what's the future going to be like? Part of it is in what happened yesterday, last year, last lifetime. It's all very linear, you see. The awareness, the consciousness has been focused on your beliefs, your perceptions, your fears and your desires. But there is so much more consciousness, awareness. It's already there. You would take a deep breath and allow it to expand. Funny thing is that nothing happens. Or at least, nothing that the mind can comprehend right away. As you take a deep breath and allow the state of consciousness to open and expand, the part of you, the mind that's saying, yeah, but I don't have any sensation, nothing is happening. But yet it is. It is. Because you're allowing. Because you've chosen it. Because it's your damn consciousness and you can do what you want with it. It is. It's opening yourself, making your consciousness more flexible. So it's not just centered on this human reality. So it's not just coming through the filters of the mind. Take a deep breath. Into the open state of consciousness. beginning of our Shavuot today, I ask you to invite me in, into you, into your body, yeah, right into your physical body and into your mind. Most of you were open and trusting and bold enough to do it. Now, here we are. Again, with that open and trusting nature. To take a deep breath and to allow yourself to open your consciousness. The mind says, well, what am I supposed to do? Nothing, nothing. Part of you is looking for a reaction. Doesn't have to be one. Simply by allowing. Kind of like opening the beam of a light. The beam could have been very narrow. Only illuminating a small area. Now you can take a deep breath. Open the beam. Open the consciousness. Consciousness is not thought, by the way. Thinking, mental activity, has almost no consciousness to it. And that's where many who have been on this path of enlightenment have gotten distracted. Too much thinking. Well, thinking lets you feel like you're in control, like you're doing something, like you're thinking. True consciousness goes without thought. It takes a very bold and trusting person to go beyond thought. Many people stop at this point and say, but I have to know what's happening. I have to know what's going on. I have to be able to think about it, figure it out. They say, what happens if I lose control? If I go out of my mind? That's exactly where we're going. We're going beyond the concept of power and control anyway. So let's take a deep breath. There is no thought in consciousness. There's no language to consciousness. There's absolutely no mathematics to consciousness. None. And no framework. It's something that you can allow yourself to experience. Mind is chattering away right now. Just tell it to shut up. You're allowing yourself to come to new states of consciousness that don't require energy, don't require thinking. Consciousness is awareness. Openness. And yes, and simplicity. A lot of simplicity in consciousness. Mind is complex. Consciousness is simple. And in the state of consciousness, a flexible, open consciousness, you can start feeling again. sensing again. Consciousness can be very open, fluid, expansive. Just take a deep breath and allow it. Our discovery this year, I'm going to discover how you are a being of consciousness. You don't need to think, you can't think your way into it. I'm going to allow yourself to be awake, conscious, with very little need for thought. Hard to, for the mind to imagine, but very little need for thought. Take a good deep breath. Consciousness, your consciousness, it's not owned or controlled or manipulated by anyone else. Not even God, not archangels or anyone. The consciousness is that I exist. I exist. And then it expands into greater awareness. To greater experiences. One day, Mark, you'll tell your students, little consciousness brings little experiences. Little experiences bring little consciousness. In other words, you limit yourself, you limit your experience. You also limit your awareness. You limit your awareness, you limit your experience. You take a deep breath, and with an open, pure trust, you allow big experiences, you get big consciousness. You allow big consciousness, you get big experiences. Experience is just a way to rejoice in the I am and the I exist. In our discovery, you'll realize that you never have to have an experience as a lesson again. Let's not even talk in those terms, experiences as lessons. There is no need for lessons. No need. Say, what is Spirit trying to tell me? Why did this happen? What is Spirit trying to tell me? Spirit is just trying to tell you, hello, glad you're alive. Now what are you going to do? As you take a deep breath and say, damn, I'm going to open my consciousness. Now I'm going to ask John to turn off the funeral music. So we can just be. In the stillness, in the silence, with consciousness. Take a good deep breath and don't think. Transcend that need to think and just dive into open consciousness. And I ask you to experience this month. Till our next shout, diving into consciousness without thinking, without having to have a purpose. Dive into consciousness that allows experience, that is not about lesson. dive into consciousness without having any structures, frameworks, filters, hesitations, or anything. Now, you will probably have some moments of feeling a high level of disorientation. It's just an experience. But trust yourself that it's not going to affect your driving or anything else. As you open your consciousness, make your consciousness more flexible, your mind is going to feel very discombobulated. It's going to feel more. It's going to feel out of sorts. Part of the experience is allowing that. Just allowing it. So, in the experience this month, whether you're sitting at home behind the computer, whether you're taking a walk, just dive into consciousness. Without thought, without structure, without filters. So let's have the lights back up. Let's take a good deep breath as we begin our discovery series. A good deep breath. Ah, consciousness. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Consciousness is, as you get more playful with it, you'll learn that you can focus it, laser focus it, anywhere you want. You can have multiple laser focuses going on at the same time. You can just open it up in one great big awareness of consciousness. You can hide it. You can make it very, very small. You can do anything with it you want. Consciousness is not a game you play with others. This is for you, for yourself. Don't walk out the door and start zapping others with your consciousness. That's when you're going to start getting zapped back. You'll find that consciousness is malleable. Consciousness is something that you can play with and work with. It's yours. I mean, it's your core. But you've been very rigid with it. You've been programmed to be very rigid with it. You've had the belief system that you keep adding to consciousness or awareness little by little. Not at all. Not at all. You can have as much of your consciousness as you want. It's going to cause some interesting conflicts with the mind and with some of your thoughts, and that's why I say beliefs are going to go out the door with consciousness. Right out the door. Let's take a good deep breath until our next gathering. It's about the flexible state of consciousness. And what are those words I love to hear? And so it is. Thank you. You're done early today. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, just stay with that feeling. This is an invitation to our consciousness, to allowing, to express. And this homework to stay with that. Just be with that. I thank you for being here with Jeffrey Hoppe, channeling Adama Saint-Germain. Can we give Adamas an applause, please? And Jeffrey Hoppe for being so bold to take it on. So, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening in on the Awakening Zone, listening from the Crimson Circle or Blog Talk Radio. And if you're really bold, maybe you were watching from the Crimson Circle website or you were experiencing it live and in person in Coal Creek Canyon at the Coal Creek Canyon Improvement Association Community Hall. So thank you all. We'll be back here again the first Saturday of the month, September whatever, and we'll be here at the same time. October. We will start again at 1 o'clock and the channel, as you know, at 2:30. Thank you all, and be well, and play with your consciousness and allow it. Your consciousness and your experience. Thank you.